James Corbett.
Adrian, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Yeah, pretty good.
That's the way. Thanks for joining me once again. I must say, mate, like I have to say to you, as I say to many guests, but I wanted to say to you, I really appreciate your response. I just want to acknowledge you for the fact that I can reach out to you and say, hey, would you like to come on a podcast and talk about stuff? And you say yes. You know, you're not high and mighty. You're not asking me for like my download numbers. You don't say, you know, if you're only picking and choosing the shows that are like wildly popular or anything. Not that this is not wildly popular. It's, you know, one of the most popular shows in Australia, naturally.
In the world.
The world.
In the world. Come on.
Australia is my world, isn't it? Anyway, I appreciate you, man. I just wanted to say that. I really mean it.
I appreciate your appreciation. And now that the Mutual Appreciation Society is out of the way, what are we talking about?
Mate, there's a lot to talk about. I think the last time we kind of recapped, you know, what you've been up to, and we had a little bit of a background story on your life and things like that. But since then, there's been an election and there's things going on in like the crypto world and in Australia here. I'm not sure if you're abreast of this sort of digital ID. They want, they passed the bill for kids.
I'm vaguely familiar, but if you can fill me in on details.
Well, look, I guess my sentiment is in the light of what could arguably be a positive outcome with respect to election and respect to healthcare and all of the things that have been touted, they seem really great. But in the meantime, we have, like recently here in Australia, we've had a disinformation bill which has been declined and rejected, but you know, was one attempt at trying to get this bill through. And then we have another one which is recently passed where they want a digital ID for anyone under 16 in order to get on social media. I guess look, I'll hand it over to you. I really would love your take on the landscape of the world, because Trump's going to be at the helm, you know, and everyone's kind of really parading the fact that he's in, and sort of like, you know, the white hats won, and you know, he's going to be the savior. But it's kind of like 4 years ago, it was elections are rigged, and it's all set up, and it's all a fake thing, and don't trust them, because you know, all these people are going to be doing anything in your best interest. You follow me? So all of a sudden, it's like, you know, the tables have turned, and elections are great, and everyone wants to be healthy. But, you know, we have a president that was, you know, he toots his own horn about Project Warp Speed and promoting vaccines and all that kind of stuff. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, for people who don't know my take on this, politics is a distraction. It is the sideshow that is dangled out in front of us to make us. It is the child's steering wheel that you put in the car to make them feel like they're driving the car. Hey, look, mommy, I'm driving the car. And it is equally as ridiculous. And it's pointed out by things like that. Yeah, you point out a good thing there. So yeah, 4 years ago, the elections are totally rigged, man. Everything, it's ridiculous. They pulled 20 million votes out of a hat or whatever. You know, they can do it at any time. And then 4 years later, hey, we won, so it's all okay. It's nonsense. It's ridiculous, childish nonsense. But try telling people this and they're never going to listen, because it is a team sport and people love cheering and getting involved in the back and forth of the game. And they hate the people wearing the other team's jersey until they switch teams and put on the right jersey. And now I love them. So all the people, all those stupid Dems who are now Republicans are great or whatever. Ridiculous. It's all just such nonsense. And it changes nothing about the governing power structure of society. Do you think, does anyone out there think that the multi-trillion dollar USA Inc., let alone Australia Inc., Japan Inc., and all the other incorporated nations out there really hinge on how many people go to write their suggestion on the slave suggestion paper? It's such self-evident nonsense. And yet, cycle after cycle after cycle, people keep going back to the polls. This time it really matters. The most important selection of our lifetime, guys. We better vote harder. And oh, we did vote harder and it works. Yay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'm bashing my head against a brick wall trying to just describe how stupid this is to people. And at a certain point, if people want the stupidity, go for it, man. I'm not going to stop you. It's just, I have zero interest in it. But having said that, having said all of that, okay, great. So what's going to change? The flavor of the technocratic push towards rule over everyone changes, but that's about it. So instead of, say, Bill Gates, for example, backing Kamala, now you have Elon Musk backing Trump. So instead of Gates, you get hipster Gates. Yay! Take this brain chip, guys. This one's the good brain chip. It'll make you super happy all the time, and you can tweet your, I don't know, your favorite memes, your based memes while you're, you know, driving. No, you won't even be driving your car because you'll have a wonderful Tesla that will be driving itself. Yeah. It's just like every part of the same agenda is going lockstep forward right into this nightmare future. But hey, it's the cool team that's doing it now or something like that. I don't know. Total nonsense. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah. It's interesting. What's your take on Elon Musk? Like, I find it ironic that a guy that comes along, I mean, there's certain elements of him that I really like, and it's the same with Trump. Like, there are elements of that that I really like, and I used to like him as a business guy. I read his books 20 years ago. Like, it was, anyway, Musk strikes me as an odd character at best, but it's interesting that he's like, free speech has been restored because I bought Twitter and now I turned it into X. But it seems like he's got plans to make it a banking system and a one-stop shop for all of your digital needs. He touts the fact that AI is dangerous and it needs to be railed in, but he's sticking microchips and plants and in people's brains and sending satellites to the sky and creating nets of interweb connections so everyone can dial up speed at a rate of knots. So anyway, what's your take?
Well, my take is that Elon Musk is a deep state cutout. He is a military industrial complex contractor demonstrably, but really, I don't think he's a brilliant businessman other than, I suppose, being brilliant enough to be serviceable puppet for the deep state. And in which case, you better believe you can become the richest man on earth. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. There's nobody richer than Elon Musk, guys. Don't ever question that Forbes rich list. But anyway, and all of his wealth, all of it in every single company, except maybe potentially Zip2. I've never really, really done the deep dive on Zip2, but pretty much every other company he's ever been involved in has been propped up completely and totally by U.S. government support, whether it was Tesla with all of the subsidies that it's gotten for being the clean energy wave of the future back when it was cool and trendy to be on the hipster liberal left. And now that he's on the MAGA right, he can be Mr. Space Force, Mr. SpaceX. Wow, look, and doing literally billions and billions and billions of dollars of contracts with the U.S. military industrial complex on behalf of Starlink, etc. So yeah, I am not impressed by him as a person or as a great thinker. He does not demonstrate that he really understands much of what he's talking about, other than the fact that he's I have to admit he's an effective salesman, because so many people who otherwise would question narratives that he's putting out there, like, for example, the brain chips and the AI equipped robots that he wants to insert into every person's house and all of these other things that people would be skeptical about if it was coming from someone like Bill Gates, they seem to lap it up and ask for more when it's coming from Elon Musk. Hey, he's going to be in part of the Department of Government Efficiency. Doge, do you get it? It spells Doge, guys. He's so funny. I don't know what to say. Again, I'm bashing my head against a brick wall trying to get these self-evident things that they would recognize if it was someone else, but because it's dressed a certain way, it looks a certain way, it talks a certain way, they'll absolutely consume it.
Yeah, he's got like a, I think it's the Tony Stark sort of sexy billionaire smart guy, you know, like
you know why that is the first thing that occurs to you?
Why?
It's because literally the producers of Iron Man
set up
the appointment for what's his name? Robert Downey Jr. to go meet Elon Musk at Tesla back in when they were in production for Iron Man.
I did not know that.
This is the model. This is the guy, right? you're playing Elon Musk, essentially. It's why Elon Musk has a cameo in Iron Man 2, etc.
I did not know that.
It was inserted into the narrative to make you think,
damn,
Tony Stark, Elon Musk, cool future guy, right? And if people want more about that, go to CorbettReport.com/Musk. I have an entire podcast that talks about all of these things, all the connections, all of the contracts, all of this, the background, where he came from, why CNN was doing puff pieces on this random Silicon Valley millionaire who at the time was an absolute nobody, but they do these CNN puff pieces. Hey, he's getting a McLaren F1 delivered. And we happen to have the CNN cameras on hand to watch the car getting delivered to him. What do you think, Mr. Musk? He's a completely constructed, concocted media spectacle entity that is a cutout for the deep state. And people who don't, who haven't seen all of these pieces put together, cannot comprehend how much they have been manipulated into thinking he's the cool Tony Stark man of the future.
Mm. And it's interesting the correlation you made. Like, if it was Bill Gates, everyone would reject it now. But it wasn't too long ago when Bill Gates did the whole makeover, you know, philanthropic sort of expose on how great he was providing for humanity, and then everyone loved him. And it seems like that would be the same for Musk. You know, maybe there's sort of this, I don't know, a glam up, you know, makeover sort of thing, and now he's the cool guy.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, because Gates was using the Rockefeller playbook, right? I mean, it was Gates' dad even wrote about it in his autobiography. They consciously modeled their philanthropy efforts on the Rockefellers because they were the ones who, back in the turn of the 20th century, everyone hated the Rockefellers. They were the evil, the monopolists who completely controlled the oil sector and thus were bajillionaires. I mean, if you compared the inflation rate and blah, 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 the amount of money that John D. Rockefeller Sr. had back in the day, it would be much more than what Musk has now. In the popular imagination, the Rockefellers were the enemy. There were all these editorial cartoons with the Rockefeller tentacles stretching out across the globe and all of these things. They were reviled until, of course, Rockefeller started pumping his money into the wonderful Rockefeller Family Philanthropic Foundation and giving away all this money, and made a point. In fact, invented the modern PR industry with Ivy Lee, making sure that there were cameras there to film him giving dimes to orphans and things. Like, oh, what a wonderful, generous old man. And successfully transformed the Rockefeller name, at least for a very long time, into something that people actually went from hating to loving. So the Gateses did that exact same playbook, literally exact the same thing. Let's start a family foundation, and oh, we're giving away our money. Although, interestingly enough, not only does Gates still rank up there on the Forbes rich list, which is absolutely the richest people in the world. There's no one richer than who's on the Forbes rich list. Don't question it for a second. But not only is Gates still up there in terms of how many tens or hundreds of billions of dollars he has, but actually his net worth went up drastically during the scamdemic. From 2020 to 2021, there was a huge gain in net wealth. But he's giving away all his money, right?
How does he do it?
The poor and giving them life-saving vaccines all over the place, but he's making money from it? I don't understand. What's going on?
The mind boggles.
Thankfully, I think people can see through that better. After a century of the same stupid PR moves being shown to people, eventually people start to catch on to it. So exactly right. The new playbook is Elon Musk. Oh, he's the cool, you know, he's the hipster Bill Gates that everyone can love, because look at his based memes. He's such a funny jester who's tweeting 8,000 tweets a day while running Starlink and running Tesla and running SpaceX and running everything else, right? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And another thing that really sort of stuck out in my mind too. I think there's a lot of people when we sort of link these two together, meaning Trump and Musk, and now that they're sort of backing each other, I suppose, talking each other up. I watched a documentary on Jeffrey Epstein, and one of the things that stuck out to me was, and correct me if I'm wrong if you know what the right answer is, but it seemed like Trump's ex-wife was running around with Ghislaine Maxwell and soliciting the girls in order to go to Epstein. And so it seems like that, in my mind, how could you not know that your wife was doing that or hanging around these people? And then you've got a sort of semi-quasi connection to Epstein at some point. And then there's a link to Epstein and Musk. So there's, you know, it's sort of a muddy water. Like it's lurking in the background, and I'm not quite sure exactly what to make of it.
Okay, I don't know about what you're referring to with regards to the ex-wife and Ghislaine Maxwell. So which ex-wife? Ivanka? I don't know about
whatever. I'm trying to rack my brains because it's been a couple of years since I watched it. But Netflix had a special where they had this whole sort of life story about Epstein. And I'm sure it was Trump's ex-wife. Is it Ivanka? Is that the ex before Melania? Is that
Melania, right? Yeah.
She and Ghislaine Maxwell, and if I'm wrong, tell me, or someone tell me, but they were running together and they were courting the girls. And so, there is sort of connection.
Wouldn't
there.
Surprise me. But at any rate, we know, I mean, documentably, on the record, Trump and Epstein were running around for at least a decade in the 90s up until the early 2000s when Trump formally distanced himself from Epstein and kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago because, he was up to no good, right? People can make of that what they will, but the friendship that was there is documentable on the record. I mean, there's even public appearances of them together, laughing around and joking around and what have you. So they definitely had a relationship. And it is interesting to me. It was at some point during the selection sideshow circus of the past year, or feels like 100 years that this has been going on. But at some point, somebody asked him about the Epstein records and whether he would unseal them when he gets into office. And he said something like, oh yeah, maybe, I don't know. But you know, there's a lot of false information in those records. We don't want to take too much.
Trump said that?
Too hard is that Trump said that.
Yeah,
I will dig up the link for that for people who don't believe me. But yeah, he said that. You don't want to look too hard at it. There's a lot of false information in there. So yeah, I have no doubt that Trump, there are certain skeletons in Trump's closet that can be used to control him, even if he needed to be controlled.
Sure. I thought I heard Musk say that he would definitely release the files and there would be a lot of people that would be scattering. He was kind of...
Okay. I'm holding my breath. I'm dead. Oh, well. Yeah, I wonder if they'll release the JFK files like they didn't in the first Trump administration.
Well, RFK admits that he was on the flight list. He was on Epstein's flight.
You know, he was gone a couple of times, but it was one of those things. You just borrow someone's.
I had no idea.
You know how it is.
it's an interesting connection. I can't help but be somewhat a little suspicious and a little dubious as to what skeletons are in these guys' closets. In saying that, though, James, are you any more or less optimistic that there seems to be a movement towards, you know, the MAHA movement and the MAGA movement and things like you can clearly see that there is some change.
Good question. Because yes, it sounds like you're Mr. Black Pill. Oh, you're such a cynic, James. No, I'll give you this. I think whatever Trump and RFK and Tulsi Gabbard and all these characters, whatever they are, whether they're on the level, completely honest or otherwise, that isn't even relevant. That doesn't even matter to me so much because, again, I think the whole political stage is the sideshow distraction. But what matters is what's going on in people's minds, what they believe, what they think. And I think, at any rate, demonstrably, millions, tens of millions of Americans, hundreds of millions, maybe billions of people around the world are increasingly aware of and against the globalist agenda and are concerned about things like health. And, you know, hey, maybe it would be a good idea to remove these ridiculous food dyes and cancer-causing whatever in the food supply. Maybe that's a good idea. And of course, you get the establishment media puppets coming out of the woodwork. That's terrible. How dare it? What a crazy conspiracy theory you are because you don't like all these additives. So at any rate, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen on the political stage. But as I say, I think, again, the whole reason that the political sideshow circus takes place is because it is important that the people, the vast majority of people, at the very least, go along with whatever's happening, that they believe some sort of narrative that makes them think that things are moving in the right direction or whatever. Oh, that's boring. Don't look over here. Look over here. Look over here. Or whatever it is. But what we believe and what we're paying attention to and what we're focusing on, what our intentions are incredibly important. That's why the entire PR industry exists, is to mold your mind, shape your perceptions, get you to engage in certain habits and opinions. And as a result, what is the real meaning of that? It means that what we think, what we believe, the way that we act in the world is incredibly important. And we usually don't realize that. We usually sit here going, whatever. We can't do anything. What we do doesn't matter. It's all them. They control everything. And meanwhile, they're doing everything they can, everything in their power, devoting incredible amounts of resources to controlling what you think. What does that say? It says that what you think is important. And so, yes, I don't care about the stupid political puppets on the stage. They are the birdcage liner. They will be thrown out as needed. What I care about is what the people actually desire. What are they really hankering for? And if it is, hey, something like health, you know, trying to get food healthier, I am 100% on board with that agenda. Yes, let's use that energy and do something productive in the real world with it. Who cares about the stupid political puppets? We can take matters into our own hands and start doing things to push things in a different direction. We don't have to wait for any regulatory agency to start taking food dyes out and doing whatever and regulating this way and that. We can decide what goes in our body. And we can decide not to eat the crap that is being defecated out by the food industry. Who cares? We can choose. We can connect with local producers and farmers and what have you. We can start changing our habits. And yes, it's not going to be an overnight total change in society and everything, but we can start directing society in the direction we wish, regardless of whatever the politicians do or don't do.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's really well said. And I think that we should definitely use this momentum to speak up and speak out about things that we disapprove of, because obviously people are been very complacent and just very willing to give others the lead and say, like, I'm sure you're doing the best. So it's just this blind faith. But people do live on hopium. People do, in the absence of having their own thoughts and their own leadership and their own, I guess, navigational compass, they are abdicating all of that to someone or something else. And if you're not a true believer, in the sense of whatever higher power you want to abdicate any of your life's path to, then you are going to look for some savior complex in order to make life better for you again. And like you said, I'm too small to affect anything. What can I do? There's, you know, 8 billion people on the planet. I'm just one guy and there's nothing that I can do or say that's going to affect any change. So what's the point? So that sort of defeatist attitude is definitely still rampant. However, I do like the fact that people are starting to, you know, this new thing that come out with the cows and the bovine or whatever it is, and to stop them farting and all that shit. You know, it's like that was all over the internet in a moment's notice, and everyone was up in arms about it. And there was a lot of companies saying, hey, listen, here we are, we don't use it. And there was others that were saying, here are the companies that do. And I think that, you know, the internet at lightning speed was creating all of that awareness, which is fantastic. So I think there is.
Absolutely. That's an example of what I'm talking about, that the people can use their own knowledge and understanding to direct their actions in ways that will change things in the real world rather than waiting for politicians to do it for them. And it's funny, it always comes back to milk, because I've been talking for years about the bovine growth hormone back in about 20, 25 years ago.
Really?
various companies were trying to inject bovine growth hormone into dairy cows to get them, obviously, to produce more milk. And so BGH, RBGH, Posilac, it went through various names and corporate brandings. But anyway, this was a push, that concerted push that was being made. And I know it was happening in the US. It was probably happening elsewhere in the world. Maybe other countries weren't as receptive to it. But I know it was happening in the US until there was a mass consumer movement of people getting concerned about this. We don't want this crap in our milk. And store after store, retailer after retailer, wholesalers, dairy manufacturers, etc., they all had to come out and start branding, no, RBGH free, we don't have bovine growth hormone in our product, until it was essentially, I mean, it became harder to find than not to find. So yeah. This has happened before, and with milk before. So for whatever reason, milk seems to be the final line in the sand for a lot of people. Well, good. Anyway.
Yeah. There's nothing.
Shout out to my lactose intolerant brethren too. I hope you'll get a crack at this someday. But at any rate, man, this is it. This is the type of thing that, again, oh, what can we do? Oh, who cares? That's such a small thing. That is the biggest lie they've ever sold to you, is that you're small, you're weak, it doesn't matter what you think. The only hope you can have is in some politician to do things for you and to set things right at the federal level or whatever, sure. Blah, blah, blah. No, that is hopium. I am trying to give people hope, real, actual hope, in what you can accomplish as a human being in the world, not as some sort of political subject who's subject to the authority. And the only thing you get to do is write down someone's name on a piece of paper once every 4 years. Nonsense, baloney. That's hopium. That's crap. That's the black pill. And it's weird that people who are trying to provide the white pill of, no, we can actually accomplish things in the world, are being called the naysayers. Oh, you're so negative. You're so cynical. You're so black-pilled. No, I'm aware of what reality is and what it isn't. But let me bash my head against this brick wall for as many times as it takes for people to finally realize what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's true. But and also with politics, it's so delusional to the degree that when people go, look, I'm voting for this person because of these reasons, but they don't ever think, or at least not many think enough to say, you've only been handed two choices. So you're picking the lesser of two evils in every case. It's not like there should be like a ninja warrior tournament for these people. You should have like 50 to start off with, and then they narrow down to the top three, and then you get to choose the winner. Like, it's, you know,
this is why I call it selection. I always say selection. I never say election, because it is not some sort of, you know, anyone, any name in the hat in the universe. No, it's generally two candidates. And even as a Canadian, I come from the Canadian system where, yeah, you have the Liberals, you have the Conservatives, you have the Greens, the NDP, you can choose your flavor. But really, it always comes down to the two main candidates. It's always like that in every political system, because it's the most effective. Coke or Pepsi. You can have any cola you want as long as it's Coke or Pepsi. I don't even want cola. What are you talking about? No, you must choose Coke or Pepsi.
It's just hilarious. Do you own any like cryptocurrency? Have you invested in any Bitcoin when it started 10 years ago or 20 years ago, anything like that? Do you dabble in the
I had some crypto world? But I lost it in that tragic boating accident a few years ago. So rule number one, never talk about your crypto.
Yeah, okay. What do you think's happening on that front? Like, I like to be optimist. I'm an optimist at heart, but I also have a realistic perspective. There's a lot of movement in that sort of truther section of people that are kind of like, keep cash alive and all that kind of stuff. But to be honest with you, James, like, a lot of my money gets transferred electronically. I have three kids. I'm always spending money on something. I don't really have a lot of loose change all the time. It's hard to get cash out. The banks are charging for to even get access to your funds, and you can just see that the digital currency is going to be adopted at large scale at some point. So some part of me has to concede at any one time to go, look, I can see what's on the horizon. What's your perspective?
Well, I tend to agree. I think we know the direction that this system is heading, and you'd have to be willfully ignorant not to see it. Now, there are reasons for optimism on the fact that it probably won't go full-scale apocalyptic nightmare total CBDC-controlled currency overnight. Although, one could imagine with a nicely timed monetary false flag coupled with a world war, you know, bada bing, bada boom, we could be in that digital nightmare pretty soon. But barring that, I mean, I haven't verified this, but I was just hearing Catherine Austin Fitz of Solari.com the other day talking about how, in light of some recent tragedies, including the hurricane in South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever, the Carolinas, etc., and the chaos that was taking place there, apparently the Norwegian Central Bank started to say, you know, we're down to like 3% of the monetary supply is in actual cash at this point. We got to reverse that trend. We got to get more cash into the system just in case, just in the off chance there's some sort of, I don't know, emergency that maybe we, you know, the system goes down, we don't have electricity for a couple of days, whatever it is. Maybe we should be resilient enough not to literally depend on that for the lifeline of the economy. You know? So maybe some smidgen of common sense could take over here if people thought about it for 2 seconds. But anyway, yeah, no, but clearly the direction is towards the digital economy. And again, once again, yeah, I guess we can just continue to vote harder and vote for the right technocrats to get into some position of power to protect us. But don't worry, they'll protect us from the central bank digital currency by making sure that we have a private bank digital currency. It'll be so much better. Wait, I saw that sleight of hand that you guys just did. Wait, what's going on here? So there's a lot of ways that this can get to us. And I really do think that the entire point of the scamdemic was for people to realize just how fragile our liberties are. And Not just to see that and not just to go, oh, God, we're at the whim of whatever politician wants to lock us in our homes or whatever they want to do at any time for any declared reason. But more importantly, hey, now I know the people in my community who will support me and who are on my side and who will continue interacting and transacting with me, whether I'm, you know, wearing a mask or I have the right jabs in my arm or whatever it is, or the people who won't. And hey, maybe I should start connecting more with these people. And maybe we should start to form something of a community who, at the very least, in times of emergency, we can start make sure that we have each other's backs.
We can start
trading in other things other than the government-appointed coin of the realm. Maybe there are other ways to imagine how economies could foster. Anyway, I think that was the real point. And I hope people are working on that right now, because as I say, we know which direction things are trending. And if you're concerned about the digital economy, what are you doing about it? Who are you forging links with right now that will protect you from that in the future?
It's funny you say that. I had that exact conversation about 3 hours ago, and it was just like they showed their cards like really hard. And you knew at that point, I've always been a type of person that's like, I'm the author of my own story, you know, like I get to choose my own destiny and all that kind of stuff, until the pandemic came along. And then it was like, no, you shut your business and you stay at home and you do all these things, you can't come in here anymore. And then you realize just how much of your freedom is not free. It's actually just an illusion of freedom, you know? So it was definitely an eye opener for a lot of people, but I do have some concerns. I'm of the same opinion as I just said, that the digital world is looming, and I think that it's been coming for a long time, and it's just inevitable that that's where it's going to head. However, we have certain things that are happening here in Australia, and one of the most recent articles that I saw, I don't know exactly how true this is, but they were saying that our economic system in terms of providing identification via way of passwords is fragile. And so they're going to be using, is it the word biometrics or the, you know, like those sorts of things in order to get access to your accounts. So you can just see like how nefarious it can get when they start to dazzle you with all of these, like, you know, cryptocurrencies going wild at the moment. So anyone who's got some skin in the game is loving it because they're making money. And whilst you're making money, it's that shiny object artist that you like, the sleight of hand you were talking about before. There's something else happening in the background that if you're not conscious of, you know, it can take you out while you're, you know, looking to the glitz and the glamour of things, you know?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. And to be clear, I'm not against the concept of cryptocurrency. If it's in the right context and being used for the right purpose.
I agree.
I think the important part is the intentionality of it and what people are working towards, and the way that they're, that I think reflects on the way that they're using cryptocurrency, et cetera. Because yes, the idea, at least the idea as it was posited in the Bitcoin white paper and by the early Bitcoin community, was this is to free us from the central banks. We don't need a central bank middleman. We can be our own banks. Yeah. And here's how it can actually work. And here's the technology that makes it possible. And so the point, theoretically, the point was to detach ourselves from that system. But then, lo and behold, you get the Blockstream and the Bitcoin developers starting to take things in a, no, it's about compliance. We want to make Bitcoin into digital gold. And that means we have to comply, and we're going to, of course, going to write it all on our tax forms, and we're going to bend down to the Uncle Sam. And of course, the only thing that you should be concerned about is how many dollars each Bitcoin is worth. But wait, if you're valuing Bitcoin in dollars, then that's kind of defeating the purpose, isn't it? Because, you know, one day they should be devaluing dollars in Bitcoin. It's like, how many Bitcoin can I get for these stupid pieces of paper, right? Yeah. Or something like that. That's really the way people should be thinking about it, but they're not. They're thinking about it in terms of dollars. I want to convert it back into that dollars.
Yes, and that's a really good point. I thought the same thing.
That game, like, we already lose, right?
Yes, yeah. You're 100% on the money or on the Bitcoin, one of the two. Like it's definitely, it is such a good point, because the whole let's escape fiat currency and the world banking systems and all the things that control money and the flow of money, let's create autonomy around that, which is a very sexy idea. And I'm all in on all that. However, it went away from we're going to be using this as a way of currency and trading to buy and hold this asset and just wait for it to hit the roof and eventually you're going to be a millionaire or a billionaire or whatever. But like you said, like, then what do? Do I go and, you know, scrape a bit off, or do I get shavings of this? Like, how do I then have the utilities of using it? And if the internet is so fragile, as you put it, with how everything's going, well, then, like, that those numbers on the screen can disappear at a moment's notice, and all of a sudden I go from a, you know, hero to a zero overnight. And
There's a lot of important things for people to contemplate. And so I will direct them towards a book called Hijacking Bitcoin. It's by Steve Patterson and Roger Ver. And people might know Roger Ver. I've interviewed him in the past. He was known as Bitcoin Jesus at one point. He was part of a fork that brought in Bitcoin Cash. And anyway, he's now currently has been arrested.
Jail, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe. Well, is he still in jail or waiting? Years. a sentence or what have you, like awaiting trial. Anyway, he's under the thumb of Uncle Sam for not paying his thefts in the right way, which they would never tell him exactly how he was supposed to pay them, of course. Anyway, the Hijacking Bitcoin book is an excellent book that talks about that's exactly how Bitcoin was steered towards this other thing that Bitcoin was, hey, you told us it was this, and now suddenly it's that. Anyway, so that's that process. But I think this goes towards the bigger question that I've confronted a number of times. So if people are interested, I did a podcast on survival currency a few years ago, where I talked about, first of all, I'm not a believer in the one true only way to transact with other human beings. Everyone needs gold, or everyone needs Bitcoin, or the only thing you should ever use is horseshoes or whatever nonsense system people come up with. Great. If it works for a trade that you want to do with someone, great, use it. And I think the more options we have on the table, probably the better. But also, I think so many times I have seen great ideas, wonderful ideas for monetary systems that people come up with. There are very inventive, ingenious people who have these great systems, but they don't have any community that's willing to use these systems. So it makes the value of their wonderful, amazing, brilliant idea precisely nothing. Bupkis, zero. If you do not have a community that is coming together to use this in the intended way, it doesn't exist. And in the same way, cryptocurrency, how many people are using, transacting, interacting in crypto in the way that crypto was meant to be used as a true fiat alternative? And how many people are just, you know, converting into cash so that they can buy what they want at the store. That's completely the wrong idea.
Yeah. Well, look, for now, 100% it is. And I hope that it will change, and it has to. Like, I just feel like it has to. And I think perhaps the catalyst will be the frivolous and uncontrollable spending that governments have been doing and continue to do with our tax dollars. So I think that that could be the next revolution as such, you know, that maybe people might start saying, hey, listen,
a collapse, everything
that I'm earning is worthless according to
you. The problem with that is that they always, they always plan out these collapses. So that, for example, what actually brought in the Federal Reserve Central Bank in the United States was the financial panic of 1907. And lo and behold, it seems, you know, J.P. Morgan didn't just save the financial system. He might have caused the panic in the first place. So if people want more on that, I did a whole documentary on the Federal Reserve that people
then there was those people on that boat that happened all disappear. So
right. Not Morgan, of course. He wasn't there.
No, he canceled, didn't he?
Some of his rivals. Yeah. there were people who were supposed to be there that weren't. It's kind of like 9/11, one of those.
That's exactly right.
I was supposed to be there, but I had a doctor's appointment that day.
Yeah, sorry about that. Couldn't make it. It was just a twist of fate. Anyway, so in the midst of everything that we've just said, and you said at the start of this conversation, that it's all the smoke and mirrors, it's the glitz and the glamour and the distraction. So if you were to summarize what is really going on, or what people should really be paying attention to that really makes a difference long term or short term, what would that be?
I guess if I could summarize it down to a message that I could deliver to the masses, my message would be, don't listen to me or anyone else tell you what you should be doing with your life or the way that you should be directing your attention. Of course, you know, because you are you and you know who you are and where you come from and your skill and your experience and your background and your connections and what you're capable of and what you're not capable of and all of that stuff. What's important to you? What isn't important to you? And the more that we let other people's voices into our minds to direct us, the more that we get off of what we really are, who we really are and who we can be if we truly just manifest ourselves in the world. Who am I? And you know what? Maybe people should think about taking just a media fast or cleanse just for a day, a week, whatever you can manage. Just disconnect yourself from all these voices, all these talking heads, James Corbett and everyone else who you might be listening to, who's telling you what to think and what to look at and what to think about. And see what it is. What is it that I think? Who am I? What do I want to accomplish? How can I do that? Maybe even write out, journal it out. Think about a plan for your, I don't know, coming week, your coming month, your coming year, 10 years from now. Where do you want to be? How are you going to get there? I know this sounds like life advice 101. And again, I'm saying don't listen to me or anyone else. But I think this is a potential way that people can reconnect with who they are apart from what the media is telling them to do. Because if people have seen my Media Matrix series, they know that the mass media has been one of the most important influences in the development of human civilization, and not necessarily for the better. Of course, that is why mass media has been so thoroughly monopolized by the oligarchical few with a lot of wealth and power to try again to control what you are thinking and to control what is going on between your ears. The most important space in the universe is what's happening between your ears right now. So maybe just take a second, just unplug for a little bit and try to come to your own conclusions about what's important for you. That is the message that I want. I would love if more people took that to heart.
Really? And can I ask you, have you done that? And what did you discover?
That's a good point, because I have been doing this work nonstop.
That's a long time. Yeah.
13 years. So you better believe I am listening to podcasts, I'm reading articles, I'm watching videos, I am constantly steeped in this stuff, to the point where if I had to really self-reflect, I would say the one thing that I really feel like I've been cheated out of my whole life is that when I was a kid, what I really wanted to do, what I really wanted to be, was a writer. I wanted to be a novelist. That was my life. That was what I was into. I loved books. I loved reading. I loved words. I wanted to play in words and language my whole life. But then I got sucked into this whole conspiracy realist stuff. And now here I am, right? So really, you know, if I'm doing the deep dive into myself and my own, who am I and where, what am I doing? Really, I should be thinking about what's going to be my novel. What am I going to do? And how, you know, how much do I have to detach myself from all of this in order to actually devote myself to doing that? Anyway, that's something for me to think about.
Yeah. Look, it's such a dichotomy of things, because you're obviously very good at it and you're obviously very passionate about it, you know, and it's something you derive an income from. Like, there's so many variables that keep you coming back and in the loop of things, because, you know, you wouldn't be doing this if you're like, Adrian, I just can't be fucked anymore with all this conspiracy stuff. It's, you know, every which way you turn, there's something new to latch onto and you know, put your fingers in and then see exactly how this starts to play out. And I guess everyone has their wake up journey, and you know, mine was probably 2005 with the Zeitgeist movies and all sorts of things like that. Like, I just, you know, there was a few things. Other than that, I mean, I was just going about my day thinking that I was, you know, just going to be, you know, some sort of real estate mogul, I guess. I don't know. I had, like,
you know,
I had
other points. I just realized, I think I said 13 years. I've been doing this 17 years. I can't even keep track of how old I am until I look in the mirror and I see all this gray hair.
Yeah, that's right.
I am old.
Hey, before I let you go, if anyone's, because you've dropped a couple of things, like works that you've done in the past, and one of the things that, when I first discovered you, was the Who Is the Real Bill Gates documentary, which was fascinating and an amazing piece of work, which was seems forever ago, but actually wasn't that long ago.
4 years.
What's that?
4 years.
4 years. Yeah, exactly right. So it was right at the start of all of the shenanigans that kicked off the pandemic. Mm. But what would you recommend? What would be your top three sort of things for people to maybe go and watch and listen to and read?
It's a good question. It's hard to say, because again, everyone has their own interests, and I have such specific things on certain things that I think some people would really get a kick out of that they wouldn't know in the archive unless they're looking for it. So I'll just say some things that I know that generally, for example, Who Is Bill Gates? Yes, a 4-part documentary I did there with my video editor, Brock West. We were working absolutely insanely for 1 month to get that out as quickly as possible, because I knew how important it was at that precise moment. So I'm glad that people got to see it before I got scrubbed from YouTube for wrong think. But anyway, that's up at corporatereport.com/Gates. As I said, I did an entire podcast on Meet Elon Musk, Technocratic Huckster, that goes through all that stuff about Iron Man and CNN and everything else, all in technocracy and all of that. That's at corporatereport.com/Musk. And I'll throw one more in. I mentioned it before, the Media Matrix, a 3-part documentary that I made in conjunction with a 3-part online course that I delivered about mass media and history of that. That's up at corporatereport.com/media. So that might be a good place to start. But really, use the search bar at corporatereport.com. If there's a particular subject you're interested in, type it in there. Maybe, you never know, I might have done something on it in the past.
I highly recommend it. I've only watched one out of those three, so I'm going to get some more watch time going on and get my head around all of that kind of stuff. I think it's fascinating. And again, like, commended to you. Like, you do such a great job of piecing it all together. I don't know how you do it. I honestly don't know how you find the time, and I don't know how you put it all together. It's just an amazing job. So credit to you and everything you do. But once again, mate, you're a great guy. This has been a fascinating chat, and I really love circling back and picking your brain about a few things and seeing where your mind's at. And it's good to synergize, you know, with someone that's like-minded. So I appreciate you, and look forward to doing this again sometime soon.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on. Thank you to your listeners for putting up with me for an hour. And if they're interested, I'm over at corporatereport.com. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, mate. See you soon.
You too.